Hey friends, it's Kara Kay, and this is the Asking for a Friend podcast, a show for the woman who has questions about herself, the church, and the world. We are all asking tough questions that affect us as women in the culture that surrounds us, and we are looking for a safe space to ask them. But don't worry, I know you're only asking for a friend. All right, friends, welcome to the show this week. It's 2021. I can't believe it. I really thought it would never get here, but I'm so excited to have Hannah joining me this week to have a conversation and talk about this new year that we are diving into. So welcome, Hannah.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. The new year is like my favorite time of year. So
I know. Isn't it the best? It's just, it's so nice. And now I just have to say congratulations because you just released a book.
And thank you.
That is huge, very huge. I released my first book was a New Year's Day book. And so that was crazy. It's been 2 years now. It was so crazy because it was like new year, new book, all the new things. And so, but it wasn't in the middle of a pandemic.
Oh, well, yeah.
So it was a little different and interesting. So today I just want to encourage my listeners as we talk through this, like, what does the world look like? What do we look like as we're stepping into a new year and we feel like everything needs to be new and fresh, and how we can do that in a, just do it in a good way that we can step into it and not beat ourselves up and know that it doesn't mean everything's going to magically be better because it's a new year, but enter this season with grace and confidence that God has got us. He's handling all of this, even when we feel completely out of control. So just share a bit of your story with us as we kick off here.
Yeah. So I would say probably that for a long time, I was like queen of the new year, you know, like never met a new year that I didn't love because I've just always been a, what would you say? Like a transformation junkie. Like just always believe, oh my gosh, like I'm just 30 days away from change or like 2 weeks away from change or, you know, like I am like a multi-level marketer's dream because I'm like, I'm bought in.
Me too. I'm with you.
I bought all the things, all the oil, all the
like, programs. This was going to change my life. And then I have all these packages of things that I took for like 2 days and I didn't see results immediately. And so I just gave up.
And so I quit. Yep, exactly. That was me for a very long time. And so I believed like, oh, okay. Like new year means like I can set all these resolutions. I can become this new person at the strike of midnight. And I don't necessarily believe that anymore as I have grown and as I have, I guess you would say built a life because I've learned that like the best things in life are the things that are built like layer by layer, brick by brick. It is that slow, hard progress where sometimes it feels like nothing is moving at all. And you know, it's taken me a few years now in this new mindset of like building what I would say is discipline, which is a word that I think a lot of people don't like to talk about because like we have an idea in our mind of what discipline is and what it looks like. But I've learned in my own journey and my own story that discipline actually brings a lot of freedom into our lives. And so that to me, especially as somebody who deals with depression, I have learned that the more discipline I build into my life, the better habits that I build into my life, the more that change is actually possible. But do I think that the strike of midnight on December 31st actually changes anything? Not anymore. But like, I do think that like we get the chance at any time, whether it's January 1st or it's December 6th or July 12th to start making small intentional changes in a different direction. If we say we want to look different, you know, like in the sense of like, I want a closer relationship with God, or I want to be healthier, or I want to be more intentional with my people. You have access to all of these things, but it's going to require action and work, and you can start that anytime.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea of just starting small. Cause I think that we have this idea in our minds that, well, whether it is a new year or something. So I feel like I have two new years within a year. I always look at January 1st, yay, new year. But then August is always like a starting point for me as a mom with kids in school, because that's like the new year starts over. And so I always feel like I get like two of those. Hmm. And it's like, you feel like, okay, everything has to change here. I need a new planner. I need a new this. I need, I gotta purge everything. But that idea of starting small is, I think that can be huge, especially, and I'm with you. And my listeners know this, that I struggle with, I have some mental health issues that I struggle with, anxiety, depression, OCD. And so it's really hard in those things when we get stuck in that, because we can watch everybody else succeeding around us and feel like a huge failure. So let's talk tangibly through some of those small things. What would you say are some small ways that people can make changes that will really impact in a big way?
That's a great question. Okay. So one of my favorite things is, like, I really believe in what I call the power of 15 minutes, but I think a lot of times we don't want to change, or we think we can't change because we say, well, I don't have enough time. And I really believe that everyone does have 15 minutes somewhere in their day. Like, you might say like, no, I don't have that time at all, but I'm like, you probably for 15 minutes, or like, you could turn off the Netflix a little bit early, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's my like belief, and I've seen it in practice, that like, if I would just start adding, or I would just start doing something for 15 minutes, I could start to see progress stack up. And so it's so funny, because at the beginning of the new year, I decided that I wasn't going to set resolutions. Mm-hmm. This was last year. I wasn't going to set resolutions. I decided that I was just going to come up with some rhythms that I wanted for my life. What were things that I wanted to do every day, every week, and every month? And one of those things was that I have never been somebody who's very good with like calendars when it comes to like online calendars, like a Google calendar. Like, nothing will make me like break out in hives faster than like having to like schedule things on calendars. I don't know why that is.
You would crack up if you saw mine, because it is so much. Like, I have like three different email addresses going into one calendar. I mean, and it is organized and color coded, and it is like a science. And I have every minute of my day blocked out.
Oh my gosh. See, and so, but I love that. I admire that. I just for so long wanted to be this more organized person, but felt like, I don't know that I can ever get there. I don't know that I have the time or the secret or whatever it is. And so I decided at the start of the new year that I was going to spend 15 minutes a day in my Google Calendar, organizing it, putting things in there. If I went through emails, I would spend 15 minutes making sure they were in my calendar. And I have come so far, like leaps and bounds beyond where I was, but it was not because I slated an hour. It was simply 15 minutes to become more organized so that everything else in my life runs smoother. And so that's one of the things that I always say, is like that idea of just like 15 minutes. And I think that a lot of change and like wanting to, you know, if we're talking about the new year, really wanting to say, okay, by the end of this year, I'm going to look different. I'm going to feel different. I'm going to finally do the things that I say that I'm going to do. I think that what we have to do is we have to realize a lot of it is a mindset shift. It's like, what we actually believe about ourselves, what we believe about God. Do we think that change is actually possible? Because if you think that you're not worth investing in, then you're probably going to fail tomorrow and say, okay, well, that's what I thought was going to happen. So it's over, it's done. I'll try again in September or next year. But like, what if we change the mindset to say, you know what, like, that's not failure. I'm going to show up tomorrow and I'm going to keep going and I'm going to keep making progress, those small things on repeat. Like, if we can capture those, if we can document those in some way where we're able to see that progress stacking up, I think that really starts to change the way that we see ourselves.
Oh yeah. That is so good. The words you use, rhythms, like, oh, rhythms make such a huge difference. And I think we don't even realize that until we implement some of those into our lives. Yeah. And that was huge for me back in the day, you know, when COVID hit, which it's funny because it feels like it was 4 years ago. And But back when all that really hit hard and we're all stuck at home, I had to get into a rhythm of something or I was going to go crazy.
Yep.
Just not being able to be in my normal routine. And so building in some rhythms in my life, and I really dove into what do spiritual practices look like for me, and walked through those and found new ways to connect with God. And that was incredible. Just learning about the way that my mind can work and does work. And the fact that, oh, I can get up early, even though I hate it, I can go to bed 30 minutes earlier and get up, or 30 minutes, you know, earlier than I normally do, and get up 30 minutes earlier in the morning. It's possible, even though I have convinced myself over the years that it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm.
That's huge. That's huge. Especially because
and those rhythms, yeah, change everything.
So it's that negative self-talk, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's why people don't change, just because they no longer believe that they can. And I'm like, oh gosh, I so badly want to shake you and show you all the things that are possible. But I get it, because a few years ago, I was that person of like, I was way more negativity than I was like believing that like something could actually shift.
Yes. Yes. Well, and it's that idea that you are worth it. Like you said something about that a second ago, and I was like, oh man, we just don't realize that we are worth that.
Yeah.
And speaking to the people that are moms that are raising kids, I think in that season of life, we get stuck in this, well, everybody else is so much more important, which it is important to take care of your people, but we forget to take care of ourselves. Mm. And, you know, we get into those rhythms where, and even as like a Christ follower, we think, well, it's my job to take care of people. And so we forget to take care of ourselves, and we forget that just that aspect of investing in ourselves. So I think that's such a huge encouragement for sure. What would you say to the woman who's listening that's like, okay, the last year's been tough. I am struggling. You know, maybe they've been hit hard by finances, COVID, whatever that looks like, and she's watching everybody else succeed around her. How would you encourage her to really fight for herself in this season?
That's so good. I mean, I think that a lot of times, I know I've been in that spot before where it feels like everything is moving for everybody else, but like I'm here, I'm stuck, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's where I think it's really important. I talk about in the book, being able to put your blinders on, just like they put blinders on a horse. Like the actual origin story of like where blinders were even invented is because there was this pastor of a church who, he had a bet with a friend that he could get the horse to like walk up the stairs of his house. Mm-hmm. And he did that, but then he couldn't get the horse to come down the stairs. Mm-hmm. So what he did was he created these little flaps to go on the horse's head so that the horse could just look like straight in front of him and start walking down the stairs. Like that's where the origins of blinders come from. And I think it's because we're so used to looking to the right and the left of us of what that person's doing. And like, we say we know that social media is a highlight reel and that it's not actually real. But at the same time, we kind of believe that it's real, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure.
We don't show the behind the scenes work of what it takes to get to this place. And so I would probably encourage that person by saying like, start investing in yourself by investing in that behind the scenes work. The rest of the world doesn't need to see it. Like it doesn't need to be documented. Mm-hmm. And I found this in my own journey that I think because of social media, I got really good at wanting to live my life in order to document my experience, in order to tell people I'm living my life. And I think that's a dangerous place to be because like you're not actually savoring it. Like you're not actually like in the moment, you're just doing things so that you can tell people that you did things. And so I would probably say like, you know, like be willing to like turn off the devices and get present to your life and savor the success and those victories, because you're deserving of that, because you should actually like, it should be enough that you're changing for yourself and you're experiencing success for yourself, even if you don't tell the rest of the world about it. I want that for people, because I think when you start to get present to your life, like that's such an addicting, amazing feeling to just like be in your life rather than feeling like, okay, my life has to fit in comparison to other people's stories.
Yeah. Oh, that is so encouraging. I recently was sitting with a group of friends and all of us were like writers or speakers or, you know, in some capacity we did this. And it was crazy to listen to stories and how we're all just at different stages. And what, you know, a few of us were on kind of in a valley and a few of us were on this mountaintop of like, oh, I'm really succeeding right now. This is looking great. And it can be hard when you're in that valley of I'm listening to my friends and they're talking about how they've gotten all these great successes for themselves. Mm. And I'm just sitting here thinking, okay, God, when's it going to happen for me? Yeah. And you just can feel so beat up and forgotten. But I think it's important to remember how much God does in those valleys, how much work he does in us. And it's interesting. I was talking to my husband about this, like, what about me? Like, hello, did God forget about me? And, you know, it's like, we're just reminded, think about all the times when you felt forgotten, think about the times that you were low and things didn't look the way that you planned them to look and how God worked through that and what he was able to accomplish. And that just, it makes it worth it. It makes you go, yeah, I'm going to show up for where I am right now.
Absolutely. Especially if you're in the valley, because so often we're like, okay, well, like life is going to start when, like when I'm out of this valley, when I'm on the mountaintop. And I always say like what grows in the valley doesn't grow on the mountaintop. Mm-hmm. And so like be there, invest in that, learn as much as you can possibly learn, because one day you are going to be out of it and you don't want to look back on that valley and be like, wow, there was so much time and like resources to prepare for this mountaintop and I didn't take advantage of it, you know, like, cause so much, and you've probably seen this in your own life. It's like so much of the work is secret work. It's not work that like, if you're not willing to do the work, like it's not real, you know? And so it's like, you have to learn to love that secret work or you're never going to make traction or you're never going to actually be able to get to that next level of success because you just want it to be like effortless and instantaneous and nothing in life actually works that way.
Yeah. Yeah. This reminds me of a story. I shared this in my book, but it was something that really happened personally in my life that I took this journey of really wanting to find abundant life in Christ and what that looked like. And I dug into that really deep for a few years and spent the time like asking God every day, show me this, take me to that, take me to that place. And I got, you know, like, I didn't realize like, okay, what's changing? I don't really know. And then my son was diagnosed with something really scary. And as my husband and I sat in the doctor's office with our son and we were given this news, I just felt peace. Mm-hmm. And as someone who struggles with anxiety and depression, this could have just made me spiral, but I felt nothing but peace. And it was like in that moment, God said, this is my abundance. I've been building it up in you because you've asked for this. And this is what this looks like in this moment. And I think that women, we can have that. We can have that in this year. We just got out of the hardest year probably that most of us will ever face. But God grew something great in that. And we may not be out of it in 2021. We don't know. But He did something great and he can take us into abundance in the next season. I believe that for us.
Totally. And not discounting where we've come from, you know, like 2020 was hard for a lot of us and we still have the chance right now, if we want to spend some time looking back at what we came through and what did we learn and how did we grow and what did God show us? Because like, we could totally, I think there's probably so many people like listening right now that were like, okay, 2021, I see it. I'm sprinting towards it.
Yep.
Bye. I am never looking back at 2020. And it's like, no, but if you look at the Bible, so many stories hinge on looking back at remembering who God was and what he did and like, and actually like finding tangible ways to like remember. And mm-hmm. so I think it's so important that while we might want to like sprint past whatever this dumpster fire of a year was, like yeah. to see how we grew and we mm-hmm. became more resilient and we became more ready for whatever was to come next.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. As we wrap up, I want you to just share maybe a couple pieces of advice for the woman that's like, yeah, I'm ready. Let's do this. I'm ready to go forward. I'm ready to step out of, you know, just feeling sorry for myself. I want to invest in myself. How would you encourage her going forward?
Well, first off, awesome, amazing. Welcome to the fight.
That's right.
But also probably when we make those decisions, that's usually where it's like we show up and then the next day it gets a lot harder.
That's true.
Don't be surprised if resistance shows up. That's usually just means like you're moving towards something really good. And so resistance shows up to kind of like, I think, hold us back from that breakthrough. But like, keep pushing because there is going to be breakthrough. But I also think too, like if I'm thinking about like, what would I tell that woman? Like we've been talking about, I think it's so important to be able to rejoice in those small victories, mm-hmm. in like the small things on repeat, like, because you're not going to wake up tomorrow and necessarily be any different, you know? Yeah. Like if you're starting a long game and you want to be in this for the long haul, like there's going to be plenty of days where it looks like nothing is moving around you, mm-hmm. but keep showing up. Be relentless when it comes to showing up, because there's going to be one day where you look back and you're like, whoa, so much has changed. Mm-hmm. Just like you said about like that abundance, it took time for it to be built up inside of you. And I always mm-hmm. say like discipline is like a muscle. We have to train it. Like we have to show up every day to break old mindsets and to build up capacity within us. And so rejoicing in those small victories, because that's really all it is. Like if you mm-hmm. ever get to the mountaintop, that's really just a bunch of small steps uphill that mm-hmm. led you there. And being able to savor that small progress, the world may never talk about it. The world may never see it, but it is your progress and no one can take that away from you.
Mm. That's so good. Thank you so much. I'm excited for 2021. Let's do this.
Me too. I think we got this thing.
We do. All right. Would you tell my listeners where they can find you, your book, everything about you?
Yeah, everything is on hannahbrenter.com and there is a tab there for my new book, Fighting Forward. And Fighting Forward is available in bookstores, Amazon, support your local indie and small bookstore.
Right.
Just dig in and go after it. I totally believe you can.
Yeah, I will put links to her book and website and social media in the show notes for today. But again, Hannah, thank you so much. Thanks for sitting down with me and encouraging my listeners as we kick off this new year.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I'm Kara K. James, and you've just listened to the Asking for a Friend podcast. I hope that you are inspired and encouraged by these conversations to step out of the status quo and engage in conversations that matter. You can find the show notes for this episode and subscribe at karakjames.com/podcast. I also love connecting with you on social media. I'm at karak.james on Instagram and Facebook, and at karakjames on Twitter. You can also subscribe to my newsletter at karakjames.com/newsletter. This podcast is meant to provide you with a safe space to work through the questions that you have about yourself, the church, and the world around you. Please never hesitate to reach out if you need a safe place to land. Thank you so much for listening, and keep asking questions for a friend.